256. The end of an emotional week. Iowa defeats Penn State in a top five matchup in the dark at Kinnick Stadium. The fans, the best fans in the country, the fans that come back to this podcast every week played a role in that game. We're going to talk all about it. We're 6-0 and number two in the country. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 256 of the world's greatest podcast. And boys and girls, the energy level in this chat room right now is very, very similar to the energy level that you crazy assholes brought to Kinnick Stadium yesterday afternoon. Watching from where I watched from, that was one of the most electric, anxiety-riddled environments that any human being could possibly submit themselves to on Earth. And I'm so jealous that the fellas were in the stadium to feel that electricity. The boys in black are reigning supreme. This podcast is on another planet, and I'm as happy as I've ever been on this podcast right now, boys and girls. So you're getting the absolute A version of my game today. And I hope we're in for a 2-hour podcast, because honestly, this is better than anything else.
You weren't even there, and you described it about as good as I could. I don't know how Kevin would describe it, but I usually do pretty well, and I've talked about how my position sort of bred that out of me. You know, Amani Hooker jumps Ohio State first play of the game, and now I have to go snap a football. I had to be in my position ready for some very sudden changes and be able to calm those nerves, calm the anxiety, and go perform. And really, in a sense, that's what every guy out there is doing who's wearing a jersey and a helmet. I could not contain myself sitting in section 102, row 62, seat 12, right in front of the Penn State opposing fans and family, which I'll give you an anecdote about that in a little bit. But my wife, she said to me, right around the third quarter, she goes, "You okay?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not okay." And she's like, "Well, you're making me not okay." And I'm like, "Well, guess what? You're not supposed to be okay right now, because this is the biggest college football game in the country right now. There's millions of eyes on this game, and we're right there." And it was a roller coaster, Kevin. I don't know how the experience was for you, but I know that this is a top three environment that we have played in. It's hard because it's from a different perspective now for us. What did you feel from inside historic Kinnick Stadium?
Well, I think I still lost some of my hearing. That was the loudest I've ever heard Kinnick, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And granted, the north end zone helps from the times that we played, because I think it's usually louder on the field than it is up in the stands.
And that's what I was going to say. I couldn't tell if it was louder. I tried to remember back to how loud it got when we were, because it's the loudest down in the bowl, right?
Ask Penn State's guards how loud it is.
Dude.
And telling you, like, I need the fans to hear my voice right now. Like, you guys were worth so many fucking points. $5. It's unbelievable. Like, sitting at my house, I was like, holy shit, there's another couple points. Like, Kinnick Stadium was -7, -8. I'm serious, dude. That place was unbeatable. That place was unbeatable last night. And the Hawkeye defense put it together in the second half to just kind of make it even worse.
No, I mean, dude, the best thing was each false start, it got louder. Like, yep. Fans,
oh
like,
my god, start,
and it gets louder, like fans because, celebrating because themselves.
That's the fans winning, dude. They're exactly. Literally celebrating their win.
So I mean, 100% the crowd played a factor. I know James Franklin tried to play it off like they didn't, but
he should ask
another game when Penn State had 8 false starts.
Yeah, he should ask his center if it played a factor when the guard turned to him on the third one and goes, dude, snap the ball. And the center turns to him and says, I can't fucking hear.
Yeah. So they started going on the silent count. That's when the guard's looking back at the quarterback. He gives, and then the guard starts tapping the center.
Right.
So, there's no faking a cadence when you do that. So that's makes it a whole lot easier for the defensive line to go.
Yep. It's really, really great. Shout out to the Hawkeye faithful. I want to get back to the environment in a second, but as Drake alluded to in the intro, this podcast is somewhere between Mars and Jupiter right now. And I don't have words, guys. I really don't. And I know
boys, Big E, the heavyweight champ, shouted out Hawks by a million, boys.
I'm gonna
Big
pull it up.
E knew what Hawks by a million was.
Well, there was a sign. Somebody, one of the faithful, had a sign they made for the kickoff, and it was right next to him. I'm gonna show it on the podcast here in a second. And one of the questions, I took a lot of questions, made sure that we would hit on as many topics as we could tonight.
Listen, if Kevin's gotta go, Kevin's gotta go at some point. I'm on here until you get through as many questions as you gotta ask, Kluver, because these people deserve their words heard.
Yeah.
I've fixed my fair quota of legs today. I'm good for the night.
Yeah, you had to work, huh?
I got called into work this afternoon. It's okay. Got a little nap in. Then went to go fix some legs, and now we're ready to rumble.
Okay. And I see you've positioned yourself in a spot where you can watch TV as well, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm in downstairs, so I got one TV for the White Sox game about to come on, one TV for the the Bills Chiefs game come on. So I'm here for the long haul. I'm okay.
Oh boy.
I'm set up.
That's some absolute king behavior out of you. So let's get this sumbitch rolling because I'm hyped.
Yeah, I hope you got your seatbelts on. I'm gonna get to Big E in a second. One of the questions was, and I want to explain to y'all. This is me speechless because of you guys. Okay. So first off, the gratitude that I feel. And I actually can get emotional because of this.
This is unreal, boys and girls. My man has got tears in his eyes because of what you guys have helped us do.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking crazy, man. I'm dead serious. This is real.
Kluver, man, he's pulling out the old KF, getting emotional.
We're riding to Iowa City, and the phone blows up on Saturdays anyway. And I get a call from my dad, and he's like, dude, I don't know who Big E is, but he just said Hawks by a million on TV. And it's just fucking nuts, dude. And I think I'm emotional because and this is about his This is about as exposed as it gets here, crying in front of 7,000 people who listen to this thing. Man, we've put in a lot of work. Like
you have, man, you have.
But we just, the one thing that when we started this, I knew it could be pretty cool. But the biggest thing that catches on is when people are consistent. And sometimes I got to yell at Drake or Kevin to get their ass on the fucking Zoom meeting, but we show up. And Big E is on fucking Big Fox Noon Kickoff, dropping Hawks by a milli, and my phone stops working. It stops working.
you got the old freeze up, the popularity freeze up.
Here it is.
We need a prediction. I think I know what you're doing, but we need a prediction. Who wins and why? Hawks by a million.
What?
Then McAfee commented on it. Do you have the video of McAfee commenting on it?
I can pull it up.
The video of McAfee. I saw that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he's basically videotaping that happening on his TV screen, and he's just like, watch this pop that Big E's going to get. And dude, it's literally
the fans popped.
And it's just so loved it. It's so stupid, dude.
Feeling a bit surreal right now. The Hawks are number two in the land, playing as good a ball as they can play in clutch situations. And this podcast is riding their wave, and it feels really damn good, dude. And we've got our tickets booked to Indy, and we couldn't be more fucking pumped to bring this podcast to Indianapolis, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, this is, if you, I don't know if you guys have ever felt the kind of motivation an inspiration that I've felt over the last couple weeks. The flag being shown on TV versus Maryland was obviously sent us into a frenzy already. So 20x that, and just imagine the kind of response that I went through this weekend. And this is probably the emotional release of this entire weekend, because that I told Drake before you got on here, Kevin, like, there was no sitting down during this game. Like, it was
none.
It was if it at halftime and a few of the longer TV breaks. Otherwise, we were standing the entire time. And I don't think I've ever been to a game as a fan that was a stand only game.
I'll throw in this anecdote. We're obviously going to recap the rest of the game, but we're walking out of Kinnick, and I'm just like quiet, walking back to the tailgate, and I just plop down in the seat, and my girlfriend's like, why are you like grumpy? I'm just like, babe, I'm not grumpy. I am just completely physically and emotionally drained right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which speaks to, you can only imagine what those guys are going through, who not only went through all those emotions just emotionally, but they actually had to go and put on the physical performance that you watched happen on the field. Dude, it was a dogfight. It was a dogfight. And we're going to talk about which injuries were fake versus which ones were real. But there was some legitimate guys in white who were hurting. And there was a few guys in black.
They lost a few good players. Obviously, Clifford came out, but... Well, yeah, we could. You want to talk about the injury thing right now?
I've got it for later, okay, because it was the number one most asked about thing for us to talk about. So back to all that. You can imagine there's a lot of hype for the flags right now. There's a little bit of hype, right? People were signing up for Patreon just to get the link. My wife and I, we packed flag orders for 2 hours today. Those are all going out tomorrow. Everybody else, if you want to get on the wait list, and hope we're going to get to those people on the wait list, everybody will get a flag. Everyone gets a flag, right? They will be.
Yeah. And nobody has to put a down payment. It's just like, you're just on the wait
right.
list.
We'll get to you. I'll eventually get to you with the link that you can buy one. Go to just, send us whatever you want. There's been some really funny messages that are just whatever you want to type, just because to get to the wait list. But I just put, make the title of the email, the topic, wait list, and we'll get you. Patreon.com. Drake and I are going to be on one on Tuesday morning for the extra this week. I guarantee that. And
oh, you guys are in for a spectacular podcast.
Yeah. And a lot of this emotion too, in the feedback, comes from a lot of the things that you guys have messaged us on there. It's a lot. It's just, you guys are absurd, and you guys make this thing happen, right? Like, Kevin and I and Drake can talk into these microphones and say whatever we want, but if no one shows up, if no one clicks on it in their podcast app, then this isn't shit. It's nothing. So it's all on you. So where do we go next? I'm already
flustered. I need to hear, just before this podcast kicks off, since we know we're going for a long one, what does Lauren think of all this, dude?
Well, that's a little bit of where the emotion comes from, because in the beginning it was like, hey, I'm going to talk on the microphone with my buddies for a couple hours a week about Hawkeye football and just like let you hang out by yourself. And we're just going to do it for fun. And it was like, okay, cool. Like, all right. And then it got to the point where it's like, well, now, like, it was pretty quick. You guys remember, it was pretty quick. We're like, okay, well, we have 4,000 or 5,000 people listening to us. Like, now that we do this, we have to do it. We can't just stop. And so then there was a sense of accountability. Like, we got people relying on an episode Monday. It's got to come out. And so no matter where we were, you know, we take trips to see family or whatever. It's always on the back of our mind. Like, okay, well, what do we have to do for the podcast? We took a honeymoon after our wedding week. We went on vacation this summer and we pre-recorded episodes. Like, it's part of my job now. It's a large part of my job. It's half of my job. The other side being the fitness stuff, and
which stems from this podcast. So it is a substantial part of your job.
Yeah. It's everything. So you guys, that's why I get emotional about it. And at this point, it's been this way for a while. Now it's very obvious, but she sees it as like, holy, I think she even sees it as this thing. It's like, this is bigger than you could have ever even maybe dreamed of it to be. Like, this is insane. So, she's a rock, and it's nice to have a rock.
Shout out to Lauren, man. That's dope.
I want to quickly, because otherwise we'll forget, because this is basically irrelevant towards the rest of it, go over the betting recap. Your boy went 3-0 on the weekend.
Kluver, what a fucking weekend for Kluver.
Huge weekend for Kluve, dog, huh? Polecat had a weekend. And not only did I eat donuts at the Ward's tailgate.
You were on the opposite side of Beef's bet of the week, too.
I was, and I was worried about that going in. Yeah. So Beef's bet, let's go over Beef's bet first. He had Temple plus 29.5. And he had Rutgers plus 5.5.
So Beef has cooled off a little bit.
The
beef got taken out of the oven. It was hot. It was sat out a little too long. Right. It got a little cold.
Lukewarm now at this point. I was on the other side.
Lukewarm beef.
Lukewarm beef. It's a lukewarm beef sandwich instead of a hot beef sandwich. So I was on the other side of that bet. Michigan State minus 5.5, and they kind of handled Rutgers, which is it's what I was looking for. We haven't talked a lot of the other. It's been so exciting this year with Iowa. We haven't talked a lot of other Big Ten.
Bro, the Big Ten East is kind of crazy right now.
They are. And the best part about it, they have to eat each other before they get to that championship game.
And we're done with them, too.
Correct.
Which feels unbelievable, dude. When I was talking to my jiu-jitsu coach today, he was like asking me about like what, you know, about Iowa and stuff. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what. We're 6-0, and we finished – the first 65% of our schedule in the first six games. I was like, in the last six, we have about 35% of our schedule left.
It feels that way.
You know how that feels? You know what I'm saying?
Well, as far as hype and all that, like, this week felt like a whole season in itself. I'll be honest. Like, it's what it felt like to me.
Dude, this week felt like it dragged on. Like,
from
the Maryland game to the Penn State game felt like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. And I know it probably felt a little longer for the players as well. And that was another big question was, does a massive week like this put us in a position where now there's this adrenaline dump? And yeah, we know that they're going to prepare just as hard, all this stuff, but does it add some weird factor into now we've got Purdue, who's this.
Listen. When Phil Parker's defense shows up on a Saturday, they show up to play ball.
They sure
do. The offense feeds off of the defense's success, man. Like what Torrey Taylor and the defense combined to do again. I mean, this guy, Torrey Taylor, holy shit, man.
I wish I would have snapped to him,
guy is an absolute assassin. Yeah. This guy is lethal weapon number whatever number they're on. This guy is the weapon of mass destruction is attached to his leg that George Bush said was overseas, right? Like, that's what this guy is for the Hawks and our field position. Like, yep. Dude, Torrey Taylor gives me a boner.
Yeah. Speaking of boner, we were talking about being fully tented, Drake. During my tunnel sort of description, you said right in the middle, I said if the pants weren't so tight, you'd be fully tented. And I think you said fully tented. We got a funny picture and someone said, is it a problem and should I call a doctor? Should I call a doctor if I have been bricked up for 20 hours? And you've got, for the YouTube viewers, this right here, this image. So, I mean, this is part of what makes Wash Up Walk on Army so great. And I think everybody feels like this.
God, I love you people, man.
Male, female, or the other 14 genders in 2021.
The Wash Up Walk on Army just proved they mean to Iowa football. Like, I'm counting every person in that stadium part of the Army, dude. For seriously, that night, every single one of them was part of the Army, and they proved it, dude.
So could you tell how loud it was on TV?
Oh, dude. You could – the – it was just constant. When it was third down, you could tell how cranked that place was, dude.
It was absurd.
And when it exploded, like when big things happened, when Nico caught that ball and hit the pylon, that place was deafening. I could tell just from the TV.
Back to the bets real quick. We've got Kevin Ward, Alabama -17.5.
Lose.
Alabama with a loss. Boys and girls,
where defense got exposed and they had a hard time protecting their quarterback.
How long ago did I say Georgia was the best team in the SEC? I'm just trying to take claim to this.
I think we all agreed with you that Georgia's looked like the best team in the country this year, but yeah, Alabama kind of laid an egg there, but honestly, not that mad about it.
Yeah. It allows us to be Drake. You're echoing a little bit on your end, I think, or maybe it's you, Kevin. Turn down the volume just a little bit. Alabama -17.5. They lose 41-38 to Texas A&M, who has two losses, helps Iowa jump up to, we're going to talk about it, number two in the country. Georgia -15. What did they do to Auburn?
Yeah, they won. They won by like, I know they covered. I forget.
Yeah, they covered. And then obviously Iowa -1.5. That's a cha-ching. Hit. That's a hit, boys. Drake took Iowa money line. That hits.
That's an asterisk, though, because he took a favorite in the money line.
That's true.
Listen, man, but did you hear my explanation, Kev?
No, I did not.
My explanation was just simply that I do not care how or by what means or points that we win the game. I simply care that we win. And that's when I just said, give me the money line. Like, hey. Sure. I took a little cheesy, you know,
that's cute. There's still an asterisk.
Sure.
How did the Titans and Chargers end up today, Drake?
The Chargers were in a shootout and their field goal kicker screwed me, I do believe.
No, the Chargers won by 5. I don't know what the spread was.
Did they beat the Browns?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they beat the Browns 47-42.
Okay. The Titans,
Phil Parker consult, and then the Titans, they ran a train on the
30. Jaguar, yeah, they ran a train 19. On Jacksonville.
Okay, then Drake goes 3-0.
Let's go, daddy. Yo,
which brings the walk ons back to Kluver 10-7-1, Ward 8-10, Drake 9-9. Not bad. We're back close as a group, we're over 500. So maybe we start tailing the walk-ons again. I don't know. I don't know. Let's ease back into it. Let's not get too
cocky, but I mean, if we're all riding the wave, let's ride the wave, dude.
Yeah. For all of the patrons, I just want to just, I know that a shout out on the podcast is part of your perk. I can't read. Hey, guess what? I can't read 140 fucking names.
There's five.
Okay, so I'm going to do that on the, I'm going to do a little special something, maybe read all those names on the Patreon extra, which you all now have access to on Tuesday. Look out for that. Okay. There was some, before we get into the game, there was a massive contingency of recruits there. Biggest recruiting weekend in Iowa history.
Can you imagine a recruit turning down that environment, turning down what they just saw? Like, you can't, dude. Tyler Goodson had an Instagram live on in the locker room. I hopped on immediately, and all the recruits were in there dancing and stuff. Oh, I had to try and relive that one more time, man. I was fixated to the screen.
If you're
absolute electric factory inside that locker room.
If you are a Iowa recruit and you were on a game day visit this weekend and you do not commit to the Hawkeyes, who are now ranked number two, you simply, there is nothing that will do it for you, because that's it.
100%. You're right. No, I mean, that is as good as it gets right there. And so if you didn't like what you saw, heard, felt, experienced, probably had a decent time downtown afterwards, then Iowa's just not for you. And you know what? We don't want you here if you don't want to come here after that night.
You come in, you see the environment. The tailgate scene around Iowa City was as wholesome and Iowa and lit as it's ever been. You walk to the complex where they are putting on an absolute show for you. You're the superstar. Pictures in the jerseys, the helmets, free food. They're sucking you off. Figuratively, not literally. If it was literally, maybe no, that's the
Sandusky.
Only yeah, at Penn State they might do more. And then you go over to the game, you're down on the field, you're in the locker room, they bring you up, they sit you dead square in the middle of the student section, right over the tunnel. There's a flyover before the game in a top five matchup in a 3 o'clock start that goes into the night, where Iowa makes their biggest comeback as a top five team against the top five team that they've ever made. And then there's a field rush. Okay. So unless you need to be in a constant state of coked out ecstasy, I don't know how much more you need as a recruit. I don't know.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's it doesn't get any better than that. There's nothing we can really do for you.
And so, I think the Iowa program is headed to the moon.
No, I mean, that's what I was about to say is
that was on my list.
The type of day that can literally transform a program. Say you get one or two guys that were on the fence, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm all in on Iowa now, that go on and win games later. And, you know, losing's a slippery slope, but so is winning. Winning begets winning.
And literally on my list of things to hit, the next one after recruiting was, this is the type of game that moves Iowa football to the next level of consistency, right? You guys don't like 7 to 8 wins. We want 8 to 9 to 10 a year. Well, we might be closing that gap. We might.
Hey, remember like 2 weeks before the season when I said I loved the wins over 8.5. Can we just go ahead and chalk that up in one of my wins right there?
Yeah, well, you can have that for the season.
Okay.
My goodness, over 8.5 is at this point it's a million.
8.5 was disrespectful.
Well, there was a lot of questions.
Fellas, how good does it feel to have tickets to Indy?
Oh, dude, it feels so good. Dude,
the podcast is coming to Indy, and we want the Army there, dude.
We're going to do a bar meetup. All those will – and again, we have to make it. There's Purdue. There's teams that we've struggled with still on the schedule. That's going to be part of the preview episode this week when we talk Purdue, because they've sort of had our number, one of the two teams we lost to last week. However,
but every other team besides Minnesota and Purdue both have one loss.
I'm going to pull it up.
The West has two Big Ten losses. If Iowa does not make the Big Ten championship, then
they fucked up.
We done fucked up.
Yeah, at this point for sure, right? Because if it was, if this week,
this podcast is about 50 to the kids, boys and girls, we're that hyped.
Oh, and by the way, as part of your, just the insane support that you guys give us, I'm getting like 2 to 3 to 4 Venmos a day of like, here's 5, here's 10, here's 20. I've gotten 2 $100 Venmo payments of, hey, I want to pay for 20 F-bombs. What? Are you kidding me? Like, what is this? In what world?
There's one right there.
In what world do you create a podcast and then you somehow garner this following that is so loyal and loves the products?
It's not even a fault. We cultivated a relationship,
a family,
so deep that the roots run deep enough to pay for comedy.
It's absurd. Anyway, they would heavily be a fuck up if we don't make it to, and I'm gonna roll through that real quick because I do think it's something to mention. Like we said, the East is, this is absurd. Other than Iowa at 2, it goes 6, 7, 8, 10. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State. The Big Ten is half of the top 10 right now.
And Indiana has had a brutal schedule.
Oh,
they're,
man,
a good team. They are a bad team.
Dude, they're going to be the best 6-6 team to ever live.
They might very well might be.
They had to go through absolute murderer.
Because not only do they play all five of the top 10 teams currently in the Big Ten, they also had Cincy on their schedule. What?
And their crossover games were Iowa and Iowa Purdue. I think their third one was not very fun either. I forget who it was.
I'm not even sure. I could check, but I'm not going to go away from this page. In the West, you're looking at Wisconsin already has 2 Big Ten losses. Illinois has 3, Nebraska has 3, and Northwestern is making their case to actually be kicked out before Rutgers at this point. So, wow. You're looking at Minnesota and Purdue, who are the only one-loss teams. And again, all these teams now have to play each other. So there's losses in there somewhere. Unless you're Iowa, you're the only, you know, the Hawks are the only confident team right now that's like, okay, we should be able to, if we do our job, win the rest of these games. For those listening, one of these teams, say some miracle happens and Minnesota or Purdue runs the table and beats Iowa, that's the only way. They have to win every game on their schedule and beat Iowa, and that's how we don't make it. Otherwise, it's damn near impossible considering that everyone still has to play each other. So this is why we booked our tickets last week, and we didn't really throw it out there, but I'm sure a lot of you listening to this right now in the last.
I mean, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you're probably not planning on going, I guess. I don't know. So I know like the university, like tickets through the university to go sit in the Iowa section. That's
like a lottery.
It doesn't come out until they clinch it.
Right.
But there's still general admission tickets where you can pick your seats throughout the stadium. But yeah, if you don't have hotels right now, I mean, like, I guess you just don't want to go.
This game was, and John Miller has talked about it too. He calls it advancing the brand. I would absolutely love if this is, it's so hard to do, to build a program, to keep them at a consistent level, to win on a consistent basis. I would love if this is what put Iowa for the next 5 to 10 years on a level where 9 wins is expected and 10, 11 isn't too far out of reach, right?
Like, and winning the West like every other year, at least.
Like, you know, 4 or 5 Big Ten championship appearances in a decade and a couple Big Ten championships. I would love it. Now, is that going to happen? There's so many variables. It's impossible, but everything's pointing in the right direction. And I really hope that that's where we're going.
And still a young team.
Young, dude, next year the hype is going to be absurd around this team. And I don't know if at this point, I don't know if Goodson is having the type of year where he leaves.
Well, Tyler Linderbaum sure as hell is.
We probably don't have the best center in the country next year. Yeah. Although, who knows? Maybe this backup steps in. I think his name's Matt Fagan. Could be wrong. So let's get to the game. And it was a game. I turned to the guy sitting next to me who was part, he's with iHeart, kind of who we got the tickets on. And I said, this just kind of feels like an all-timer, doesn't it? Like, and I think the biggest part of this, Kevin, was, and Drake, but being there, Kev, was the reason this will go down as one of the best games in Iowa history is because there was all the hype and it lived up to all the hype.
And then some.
And then some.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were quiet as you walked away from the stadium, and maybe a lot of, well, unless you were very, very lubricated. People love the lubricated comment from the last week, by the way.
I was lubricated going in, and then you sober up, you watch the game, and you're pretty much, you know, sober by the end of it.
You're pretty sober by the end.
Right.
I would imagine that many people walking away, maybe driving home last night, thought to themselves, because I did, I was like, oh my God, I feel so lucky to just have been at this football game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's the type of environment that
you can't
fake it. You can't like pay to like, just, I want this environment in my life tomorrow. I can't just make that happen.
Right.
It's just a magical thing that just happens.
And the people, there's several people on Twitter who were at the, as young people were at the 1985 1v2 Iowa versus Michigan game. And they are saying that it feels exactly the same. And it is on that level. And based on Iowa's history, you only get one about every 40 years, I guess, right? Every 30, 40 years like that. And so I'm just like, I pull the tickets out of my wallet today as I'm kind of going through just crap in my wallet. And I'm like, well, I'm saving these. Like, these are getting saved. And I'm putting these, like, these are something that you show your kids or you auction off for like a bunch of money someday. Like, these are tickets to the game of 2021. But it didn't start out great for the Hawks. Oh, check that. It started out fantastic for the Hawks. In fact, I think Penn State thought they were going to come in and they weren't going to throw any picks. They were going to be the team who's like, okay, finally, Iowa's not going to get lucky against the team. They're not going to throw any picks. Well, Clifford on the third play from scrimmage gets rushed by.
First play of the drive. So Iowa got the ball first, couple first downs, I think, punted, pinned them deep.
Yeah. Wasn't it the first?
Very first play.
Oh, it's very first play.
Very first play, Iowa defense, Penn State offense. Seth Benson gets a good pressure on Clifford as he's rolling out, and he just tries to get rid of it. And apparently, in his mind, getting rid of it is giving it straight to
Justin Jacobs.
And so, yeah, we're like right there. We're like, wait, he just gave us the ball. We're on the 8-yard line. Let's go.
And our whole thing going wild. And our whole thing this year is the defense gets picks, our defense creates points. And it's like, are we going to be able to do it against Penn State? He throws the pick. We now have the ball in the red zone, all the momentum to us. I turn around. I'm three rows in front of the, and in fact, I sat like kitty corner right behind me was a couple of Penn State fans. Go up two rows. It's all Penn State. I turn around and double bird the Penn State section. I was so hype. I'm not like that. I'm not an asshole. But
that's a very asshole move.
I don't care, dude. I double birded the Penn State section, and I was not the only one doing it. It was amazing. It was fantastic. And what's really unfortunate is we weren't so hot in the red zone yesterday.
No, we were not.
And there was a lot of questions about why are we running shotgun snaps in the red zone when we should just run it down their mouth? I don't know. Maybe Drake, you can speak to this. I think if you run shotgun, you're probably trying to give yourself a little bit more space.
So I was really, really concerned with how the offensive line played in the first half. I was pretty scared that this one was not going to be close because I didn't know that Sean Clifford was as hurt as he was. And then on top of that, it was like we couldn't stop a nosebleed up front for a while. And at some point, Brian found out that he was having a lot of success. When he would shift a tight end, he would get the front that he wanted to run into, and the defense was like thrown off by the motion. And so we were getting that inside zone away from the motion to run pretty good for a while. Then they stopped it. They figured out what was going on. But Brian was starting to like create a little more use a little more creative run attack where he would hide Monty at the wing, pull him to the backfield real quick and run ISOs like that, that they weren't necessarily ready for. And like the run game got kind of creative in the second half. And it was my absolute fetish.
Yeah. There's a bigger theme at play here. This is just me analyzing. Our offense clearly
got pissed really bad. So keep going.
Go for it. Kevin can speak on this. Kev, if you line up our offense 1v1, you know, KF, we're talking about the Penn State mannequins here. Those guys are more athletic than us.
Yeah.
Way more. In fact, in a lot of spots, right?
Yep.
You might even say 1v1. They're better football players than our offensive guys. And sometimes you just have to accept that the other side is better, right? And that doesn't mean that you lose. It doesn't mean that you lose because there's still scheme, there's still heart, but it changes the way you play the game. You can't play.
Sure. You can call as an offense coordinator, you can call some plays and just be like, my guy's better than their guy here. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like, just running a screen pass, letting your receiver work against their cornerback in space. It can be like an outside zone where you need your tackle to reach their defensive end. You can call plays like that. He's like, I know my guy's better than their guy at that position. Yep. I can run this play. When you can't do that, that's when the playbook starts getting smaller and you have to focus on areas where, like Drake said, you either get them in the front that you want, or you have to just kind of outsmart them. Sometimes you just got to get fucking lucky.
Sometimes you got to get lucky. And all
right, and I want to say this. I had this thought yesterday watching the game, and I wanted to make sure I said it on the podcast because people might be confused about why we struggle sometimes early in the game. And
yes, I wanted to talk about this too.
We have what is called a script. And it's 15 plays, and it's what the offensive coordinator expects to happen during the first couple of drives of the game.
And this is very common across all football.
Everybody has
NFL
a script.
Too. They'll have like their first 10 plays. Like that's the first 10 plays I'm calling, regardless of the situation.
Yep.
And one, they want to see how the defense lines up against these formations. What base coverage are they playing against these formations?
And then
they can call their whole game based off that. So they have a snapshot of what's going to happen the whole game.
Correct. And before you move on, Drake, one of the questions was, why does it seem that we struggle in the beginning of the game? Like, why does it take us so long to get going? So just speak to it a little
bit. So you would say, like on the second play of the game, say something good on the offense happens. And then on the ensuing first down, we have a bad play, then we're behind schedule, we don't have a successful play, and then it turns into a punt, and everybody's like, well, what the hell, like, you know, what happened to the moment? You know, it was all these plays were drawn out, like Kevin said, due to film and the expectations of what they think the defense is going to be running, and also what we want to see for later in the game, what works. Oh, boom. We motioned a tight end here and we ripped off a 7-yard run. that might be something we look back at here in a couple of drives or something like that when we're off script. But there's so many things that Brian has in his offensive repertoire, as well as, like, say on a 3rd and 4, we have an amazing call that we think is just a world beater. We're not going to use it right away. We're going to find out what coverage they run in a couple of 3rd and 4s. And then boom, we have our perfect call. You know what I'm saying? And so like Kevin said, you run certain things, certain formations, you mix it up. You don't run too many things repetitively throughout the script, because the script sets up your expectations for the rest of the game.
And sometimes not only do they come out with something different, but even on the plays that you are like, oh yeah, this is perfectly lined up, I called exactly what, they just execute better than our guys, right? Like, they got some dudes. Hey, Penn State, they got some dudes, okay? I watched them. They, in fact, KF, he's right. They do look like mannequins. They all came straight from Shields, all right? I did not this sounds bad, but I'm on the train of, like, this is how Iowa football is going to win in 2021. Now, against a team like Illinois, we might just be able to say, hey, Illinois, our line, our running game, we are just better than you. We're going to bully you. We're going to bully you down the field. You don't do that with LBU, right? They're blitzing from every single angle. I mean, I think KF talked about it in the postgame thing. He's like, we were expecting about 40 to 50% of the plays they were going to blitz. Seems like more like 70% they were throwing blitz at it. It's like,
which honestly, I respect the game plan, you know, against an offensive line that struggled and a quarterback that doesn't like being under pressure.
Right. And that's what
probably,
you would do.
Probably a good
thing. Yeah. And so I didn't really expect a whole lot more out of the offense. They did just what they needed to do. We had one turnover, which was a tipped pass. It wasn't a bad throw.
He's got to take a little bit of gas off.
But it's not like he threw it straight to the guy.
Mm-hmm. And if you told me before the game, like, I was going to score 24 points, do you like your chances? I'd be like, let me go bet like another few $100 on the game. Yeah, right. I absolutely love my chances.
Which, by the way, the streak continues. It was 17 at halftime, 17 to 10. I was like, damn, I think the holding them under 24 streak, it might come to a close here. It didn't. It didn't. Okay. And now I kind of want to talk about this narrative that's coming out of the national media. And I don't give a rat's ass about the national media, but a lot of the listeners, y'all have been riled up about this already. And probably about 50, 60% of you guys I've already seen in conversations with troll accounts from Penn State. So let's talk a little bit about, if Clifford doesn't get hurt, Iowa loses by 2 touchdowns. Or I've seen it all the way up to like dumbass 12-year-olds who are like, if Clifford doesn't get hurt, we beat you guys by 50. I want to say two things, right? Go back and watch when we've struggled. Just go back to the Colorado State game, right? We're down at halftime in that game against Colorado State. Look at the adjustments we made at halftime. Look what Phil Parker does, right? Go back and watch any Iowa football game and watch.
Go back and look at the adjustments we made in 2016 against Michigan. Go back and look at the adjustments we made in 2017 against Ohio State. We blew them out in the second half. I mean, there's just, we make adjustments in second halves.
So take that into consideration. And now I also want you guys to know, many of you who were there knew that there was a fairly strong wind blowing into the north end zone. Okay. Their kicker, first of all, was hitting 90-yard kickoffs.
Bombing them.
Into the stands.
I was like, this dude's hitting home runs. Home run derby on kickoffs.
I've seen Marshall Kane hit some of those. That dude was consistently hitting 90-yard kickoffs. Okay? The wind helped. He put it out of the end zone into the wind. He was very impressive. Him and their punter combined, this was one of the questions. Yeah, probably the most talented punter-kicker duo we'll play against all year.
Yeah, they had a really good punter too.
Punter was elite. If you look at all 4 touchdowns that were scored in this game by the combined teams, they all happened in the north end zone. offense going with the wind. That matters. That matters. What way was Penn State going in the first quarter? To the north end zone.
Yep.
With the wind. Right? So they come out with three things on their side. A script that worked for them early. The wind on their side. And we don't have a time. And I guess it's this plays into the script, but the Iowa defense doesn't have halftime yet to make adjustments.
It's also not hard to script against the Iowa defense because you know what we're going to run.
Right.
You're just testing out what your stuff is better than what of the other stuff early on against the defense that you know we're playing.
So my theory here is, say Clifford stays in the game. Sure. Yeah, this is maybe it's definitely a slightly different ball game because let's be honest, this backup shit his pants. Okay. Someone needed to change his diaper. That guy wasn't ready.
It's tough to be ready in Kinnick Stadium against didn't they say he was a freshman?
You could have put Peyton Manning out there. I don't know if Peyton would have been ready for that. Yeah, he was a redshirt freshman.
Sophomore. I mean, the kid's a freshman in Kinnick Stadium sophomore. Against this defense.
Sophomore. Okay, sophomore. I think he had very, very limited snaps up through this point, and he gets thrown in a nighttime turning into nighttime game in Kinnick Stadium. Top five matchup.
He shit his pants.
His dick crawled so far up inside of him that he doesn't. He still hasn't found it. So yeah, it's a different game because Clifford can deal. That dude's a baller.
He's a player. And I said to start the podcast to preview, like we need to make him uncomfortable in order to succeed on defense, and we did that the very first play.
Unfortunately, we didn't do it enough pressure-wise.
No, but the two touchdown drives, we had a hard time containing him, and he made some really good throws, and they moved the ball concerningly well against us.
Yep, yep.
A couple of it was errors on the part of Iowa, especially the two of the
quarterback
scrambles
runs
that he had for first downs.
Those hurt.
We were running some pass games, trying to get some guys around, and we can't get a guy coming around towards the A gap from the outside. So wide open gap there, he scrambles, and another one we can't get a guy around on the outside. So KB needs to work on those pass games a little bit, but happened a couple times. End up with some big plays, but the rest of the game they did a pretty good job of containing the next guy was a pretty damn good athlete too.
Damn good athlete.
Yeah.
Now, you know what happens in KF? I love KF after the game. Talking about Clifford getting hurt. KF goes, I got to be careful how I say this. But, you know, you leave your quarterback out there like that, leave it and just letting him stand back there. If that's the way you play the game, you're going to leave him open for some opportunities that the defense can take some shots on him. Well.
And Jack Campbell put a shot on him.
Dude, Jack Campbell and Seth Benson are two junkyard dogs. Dude.
Dirty dogs.
They are like, Seth Benson,
I'd kiss that guy.
I would describe him as a hungry dog on a ham bone.
He hit the backup quarterback harder than Jack hit Clifford.
I saw that.
In the end zone.
The grit meter on our two inside linebackers is through the roof.
Bro. Wow. Dude. There does seem to feel, and I don't know, maybe this is just me just reaching, but it does seem to feel like this team, man, they got something extra. And you know what I think it is? I think it's going through the fire of last season. You know, we simply couldn't have gone through that. That's something that is forced upon you. I think going through that and coming out the other side and having to double down on your teammates, I think that does something. I think it does a little something. And it showed late the last six games of last season. And now it's, you know, a full off season, no COVID messing with anything. And now it's showing again. And you pair that with talent. Wow, this is what you get. But yeah, to put to bed that Clifford argument,
it's a completely different ball game. You can't. There's no way to know how it would have turned out.
It's like, well, if Riley Moss doesn't get hurt, maybe he gets 10 more interceptions. I mean, shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different game. Now, if you're going to say if the way the game went in the first quarter and a half was the way it went the whole four quarters, obviously they would have won. But like we said, we would have made adjustments on defense. Yes, I do believe Penn State's offense would have gotten more than 50 yards in the second half.
Wow.
But I don't know. It's a completely different game. Maybe we'll get a chance to find out. Maybe we'll see him again. We'll find out if a full game with Clifford is the difference.
Dude, if they rematch in Indianapolis, which if you didn't know, by the way, we're going to say it again. The walk-ons are going to be there. We got the tickets. Several people already reached out. Hey, where are you guys sitting in Indy? So I know some of you are booking them bitches. That is going to be a game for the ages if they play again. And again, Purdue or Penn State has a lot more to worry about when it comes to, they have such a small margin of error if they think they're going to get there.
Especially if I think they come in, they have a bye week coming up.
Bye week, then Illinois, but then they're at Penn State.
Then they've got Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. They've got a little bit of a meat grinder
at Ohio State.
And I don't, maybe a full week of their backup taking reps with the ones would be a difference, but he did not seem to be very good at throwing the ball. I think the only success he had was running that that little screen pass that they were running on the outside. And they were just, they're getting some, holy shit, that ball is ripped.
Kevin's,
I'm sorry, I'm watching the Sox game right now.
Middle.
Yeah, that seemed to be the only success he had throwing the ball is running that screen play on the outside, which I think a couple of times we need our cornerbacks to bring their legs a little bit, be a little more physical and set an edge, but
yeah,
Phil will get that corrected.
How many people laughed at that right there? Because I know I did.
I think a couple times we needed our cornerbacks to bring the leg. Bring your legs. Bring your legs. I can hear it.
Or I'll talk about Kevin going, holy shit, that ball.
Oh, holy shit, that ball's ripped. I questioned. I swear to God, on my like secondary list of topics, I literally have on here, is Kevin a real White Sox fan or not? Is he a real White Sox fan, or do you just say you are because you're from Chicago and you need to pick the Cubs or the White Sox?
Well, if you're that, the I would say anyone who isn't a White Sox fan automatically chooses the Cubs. They're the popular team to pick.
And it's more so like, are you actually a baseball fan? Or are you just, you're just like when baseball comes up, you're like, well, yeah, I like the White Sox.
I watch White Sox games all the time. Okay. I don't really watch like any other games throughout the year. It's like, I'm not that huge of a baseball fan.
Like you could name some players.
Oh, in the White Sox?
Yeah.
You could name the starting lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I couldn't name, I don't know if I could name 10 people in the MLB. That's how non-baseball I am.
Oh, well, yeah, I can do that. But you won't find me watching like
every game,
Mets versus Phillies game on a Monday night or anything like
sure.
that. Sure. Like I do with football. I'll watch anyone playing football.
Right.
I'll watch Houston versus Tulane, which was going to be one of my picks, but should have made it.
I want to give a quick shout out to and Drake already kind of hyped him up, but I want to give another quick shout out to Iowa's special teams. Let's talk about the guy from Council Bluffs, Caleb Shudak.
With Call a him, huge 48-yard kick into the wind.
I thought you were going to say a huge 48-yard dick. It's the same thing at this point because he's swinging that thing, boys, and it's down the pipe every time.
That was a huge, huge kick. That was that fourth quarter? No, that would have been towards the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, let me find the play-by-play here.
But it was getting to the point where it was like, you know, we got to start maybe scoring some touchdowns and not right. some field goals.
Right. Yeah, we're looking at
yeah, it was 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yep. Yeah, wow. I can't – such big kicks, dude. Because if you – The offense, back to the offense, we got to have points. We got to have some kind of points.
And you know who's, you know, Drake talked about it. You know who's responsible for one half of every point the offense scored is our man, Torrey Taylor. putting in lob wedges inside the 5-yard line,
dude,
and some really great jobs of downing them by our gunners.
Well, let's talk about Scary Terry, huh?
Scary Terry is just the absolute man. He is so good at every aspect of football.
Dude, I didn't realize how fast that kid is. I was watching him one of the kickoffs. You know how we used to have the
first inside 20, the 20. Yep.
20 yard club. Dude, he was beating guys by like 5-10 yards.
That's absurd. Terry Roberts, man.
Also, RIP to the kickoff return as a football play, because it used to be such a great, exciting play. It's just a touchback these days.
It's just a touchback most of the time. Terry Roberts, not only have we been able to see him ball out, he is the best gunner in the country. By the way, Ivory Kelly Martin also out there at gunner making plays.
It made a huge play. Kept the ball out of the end zone.
But this man, Terry Roberts, is the best gunner in the nation. And then one of the top corners in the country, Riley Moss, multiple interceptions this year, gets the biggest pop during pregame warmups when they announced the starting lineups. He goes down. Weirdest injury I've ever seen. KF said he was optimistic. We'll probably learn Tuesday at the press conference, the Tuesday press, what that looks like. Terry Roberts, guess what? You're not just a gunner anymore. We need you to go one-on-one with Jahan Dotson. You know, like, can you go guard Jahan, one of the best receivers in the country? And Scary Terry steps up and says, hey, coach, whatever you need, put me in. I'll down a ball. I'll guard the receivers. You let me fill the Gatorade cups if I need to. I'll do it all.
I'll cook dinner for your kids.
I'll fucking babysit, man. Hey, you need me to mow your fucking lawn?
You just see him. You just see him in Steve Ferentz's kitchen. Steve's just sitting there like, what are you doing this, man? Because I told your dad I would.
Terry Roberts babysitting Steve. I'll clean, hey, coach, KF, I'll clean your pool. Huh? Tell you what, man. I can't. That's funny as shit. He'll do it all. He'll cook the training table. He comes in, yeah, and not he
did a great job stepping in.
He did whiff on one tackle. I think it was early. He got a little excited, but then he made an incredible break on the ball late in the fourth quarter. One, they took a shot. They said, hey, one-on-one, let's just take a shot at the backup. And he damn near came down with a pick. He got lost in the lights.
Dude, and that pick would have been like, was it Willie Mays? Mm-hmm. Over the head in the outfield, it would have been like Willie Mays, dude.
Mm-hmm. The defense, by the way, 4 interceptions. This defense doesn't get lucky, by the way.
Should have been 3. I'm talking to you, Matt Hankins, you greedy son of a bitch.
He's padding the stats, but hey, talk about it.
Hey, Phil Parker gave him a minus on that play. I can guarantee it.
Well, because if he drops it,
turnover number at?
If he drops it. What'd you say, Drake?
What's our turnover number at?
We now have 20 turnovers on the year.
Oh, dude, in 6 games, we got like probably what's going to lead most conferences.
Yeah, I saw a stat.
Yeah, it's easy to win games when we're winning turnover margins. And that's another thing. Like, you can fault our offense for not being explosive. They've done a really good job of taking care
of it. But praise them for not turning it over. Yeah. Right. Here's the stat, Drake. Because that's funny you bring that up. In the last full season of 2019, 20 turnovers was more than 83 teams finished the year with.
Holy smokes.
12 games or 13 in a bowl game. We have 20 through 6.
The hardest 6 in our schedule.
We have 10 interceptions in the last 2 games, which is the most in a 2-game stretch dating back to 2002 from any team in college football. So I don't think it's luck.
This defense is on Neptune.
Phil feels good at night. I know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, part of it, like, you can say is luck, but, you know, luck favors the well-prepared. Luck favors the, don't know, there's a saying out there is like,
yeah,
luck favors the good. I don't know. You stop the run, you put them in long passing situations where they have to make plays. You know, it's easy, a lot easier to get lucky. Let me just say that.
Yeah. So it gets late in the game, and you know, we're pinning them. I mean, they're deep. They're kicking out of their own end zone. We get one on the 50. You know, we get one field start at the 50. We don't get anything out of it. We get another field start at like the 43. We're getting like,
here's my concern. I'll let you get back to your recap in a sec. The offense has not done a good job of long sustainable drives. Mm-hmm. Almost the vast majority of our points this year have come off of turnovers and short fields, whether it be by us pinning them deep, three and out, getting a ball back around the 50 or so. Mm-hmm. If we want to really have the conversation about Big Ten championship, college football playoff, we're going to need some more sustained drives.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you can't use the excuse, well, Penn State's got a great, like they've got, you know, we just talked about how they have better athletes, better defense 1v1 than us. Well, yeah, that's who we're going to be playing in those games.
Right. I mean, that's probably true, but okay. If you just accept that, then do you not want to win the
championship? You don't just, no. That's what I'm saying playoff. is you don't just accept that. We got to figure out how we, and we won the game, right? Biggest stat is mm-hmm. you win the game. So if we figure that out, you know, there's like Drake, like you said, Kev, you got to find a way to get a little fancy. You got to find a way to get a little lucky, and you hope that you can scheme some things up right. And just, there's some chance involved, but the wins versus great teams like Penn State or whoever we play in the Big Ten championships, assuming we get there, or if this thing goes berserko mode and Iowa's sitting in the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl in a semifinal, the games we're going to play in those games, they're not going to be pretty wins. Expect it to look a lot like last night did, Saturday night, as you listen to this on Monday. It's just how this team is built.
I mean, when you get to that point, that level of football, you literally do not care how it looks, especially towards the end of the season. It's like, oh, well, yeah, you only won by 3 points. So we're Big Ten champions. So who gives a, you know, who fucking cares?
I want to talk more about Nico's touchdown, the fake injuries, and the end of the game. Kneeling.
Let's start with the fake injuries.
But first, Kev, tell me what you thought of Brands's interview in the middle of the third quarter and the wrestlers. Factory. Oh my God. Drake, you didn't get to see this, but the wrestlers came onto the field. They were announced as the national champions. Tom Brands took the mic from Laura Vandenberg.
One sec. I love how we trolled Penn State by doing that at the Penn State game.
Yes.
Let me just say that first. Now continue.
Tom Brands grabs the mic from Laura Vandenberg, says, Laura, you're great on the mic, but I'll take it from here. What's up, Hawkeye fans? He immediately goes into, look at these wrestlers right here. They're lean. They're mean. They've been working their tails off. They look like the hawk that flew in before the game. We're the national champions. We'll take on anybody, anywhere, State College, Lincoln, Nebraska, Iowa City. It doesn't matter. Dude, I'm telling you, he had the place on his feet.
Erupting.
And then Max Murin and Jacob Warner both ripped their shirts off, and Max Murin hops on the back of Warner, and this is the scene in Iowa City. Ironman's doing backflips, and these guys are going absolutely absurd.
Holy shit, that place had to be pandemonium.
It was insanity.
And look at the offensive lineman from Penn State going, holy shit, they do it weird around here.
Guys in jorts, no shirt, and his buddies on his back, dick to neck.
Just guys being dudes, man.
Just dudes being guys. Yeah. So that was absolutely absurd. And
I love our wrestling team.
They are a circus, and the circus is in town all of 2021, 2022. Go watch your 2022 to be national champions, because it's happening again. let's get back to the injuries. The number one asked question is, can you talk about the guys faking the injuries? Franklin came out and said, it's disrespectful that the Iowa fans are booing our players getting hurt.
Well, if the actual guy gets hurt and you're booing, yeah. But when you have guys dropping like flies, having the trainer come, pretend to work on their knee, then they just bounce up, walk off, and are on the play. One, or on the game, one play later, you have lost the privilege of being nice to the hurt people.
Not only do you, if you do that once, you lose that privilege. They did it four times.
Right. So this is one thing that's got to change, because I do not want the great sport of football to turn into soccer.
No.
Where you can flop and get penalty time. I don't even know how it works, but they flop in soccer. And we, if you go down and there's a stoppage of play, if we are as concerned about player safety as these bullshit targeting rules would seem to express that we are, then if you go down, you should not be back in the rest of the drive.
Yeah. No, it should take at least one drive.
If you're healthy enough to play the next play, you can hobble your own ass off the field.
Correct. I don't know if you guys saw the video.
I saw. Yeah. He was getting some hate on it for Twitter. Some people loved it. I personally loved it because that's exactly what he did. The guy was standing around and just went down. It's like, I think I'm a little tired here, boss. Let me just go ahead and take a seat.
Drake, you probably didn't see it, but there's a video of someone who's just filming the game from the sideline. And one of the guys goes down and LeVar, the coaches are pissed. KF's coming, running down the sideline, trying to grab the ref. Like, dude, what's going on? LeVar's pissed. LeVar trying to get the ref's attention. He fakes his own. He flops on the sideline onto his back, full on. Like, it was.
Yo, Coach Woods has always been a goat, man. And that is an absolute.
Let's call him a spade, man. He's a straight shooter.
I mean, it is. It's facts. Like, don't be a pussy. But how could you expect anything less from James Franklin? Like, the ultimate scumbag. Nobody is a bigger piece of shit than James Franklin, other than Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. So they're hiring a very reasonable lineage.
Suspect.
Considering what they're coming from.
It's a little sus over there.
He's my least favorite coach in the Big Ten.
He's the kind of coach.
I mean, James Franklin is an absolute piece of shit. Like, I've said on this podcast many times, like, I want to kick him in the balls. I want to curb stomp him. Like, at this point, I just put him in a smoker and cook him for 12 hours, lean, long, slow, let him suffer for a while, and then eat him.
We just got the Crime Junkies podcast is calling and they're looking for their next serial killer. No, Franklin's the kind of coach to like participate in his own message boards, like get on there with an account like PSU Coach 14 and talk with the fans about like how the games are going each week.
Yeah, but back to the original point, you don't want fans to boo players who are hurt or hurt.
Right.
We got to get that fake hurt bullshit out of the game because it's disrespectful to the game of football.
Yeah. There's got to be refs need the ability to use judgment and say, hey, you're not. Because otherwise it's like, well, we have to.
Either that or, like I said, you want to go down, you're out the rest of the series.
Right. 100%. Okay. Two more things. Sort of the ending of the game. But first, we claw back. Drake, you talked about it earlier. You set things up. The script is for looking at things that may open up later in the game. And what does Brian Ferentz do that he has done quite often as of late? He pulls out the super middle finger with the, I don't even know what you call that play, but it leaves Nico on an island.
It was a perfect play call at the perfect time. Drake, I'll let you, if you're the resident offensive guy, but I'll be happy to go through it for the defense perspective after.
That's an old-time play. We've had that one in since we were in the program. I forget exactly what Brian calls that route, I think Coach Davis may have even had something very similar in his offense, but it comes off play action. Like I told you guys, our big offensive play potential is off of play action, which means we have to establish the run game. That's how the Iowa offense is built. And Brian, assumingly, had been on run plays using Nico to run and try and dig out safeties in the middle of the field or crack or whatever, because on the play action fake, it looked like he was running to crack. And then the play turned into a pass and everybody started to drop into pass coverage, but he was still running into another defender's zone who was carrying their receiver. So the guy who Nico would have, you know, maybe been responsible to block or whatever, or would have been responsible to cover Nico, kind of thought he was like going into somebody else's zone, whatever. And then Nico bends it right back to the pylon. That's where they're taught to run. They go and they probably have to run like at the safety's face or something like that. And then once they get to a certain landmark, they break to the pylon, and that corner had already fallen off and his eyes were completely elsewhere. He had no idea that Nico was, you know, 20 yards behind him.
He kept. Go ahead, Kev. So to me, it looked like I'm not 100% sure what Penn State's coverage was. It was either cover three or they're playing quarters coverage. Either way, the number one receiver to the on the Iowa sideline just runs a go route, runs off the cornerback there. The like Drake said, Nico is stemming towards the safety on the play action. That's the normal thing to do, is go block the safety. And then as soon as the safety reads that it's pass, 9 times out of 10, you expect that receiver to go with the flow of the quarterback. So the quarterback's going to be rolling out to the opposite side, right? So 9 times out of 10, you're going to be running a crossing route, some sort of deep dig cross that safety has to then cut. We call it cut. You're probably 5 yards off of him. In order to stop that play, you have to break on that immediately. So as soon as that safety starts breaking on what he thinks is going to be an over dig route, Nico takes a hard left turn, heads towards the pylon. Spencer, he stops his rollout, sets his feet, puts the ball right where it needs to be, and then it's a race to the pylon. I felt like I was watching it in slow motion. I'm like, this was the perfect play call, the perfect place on the field at the perfect time, and it was beautiful.
How electric was it, dude? It was. I saw
the place exploded.
It was almost sexual how I turned my head to see Nico put his foot in the ground as he broke it back. And I look, and then of course, if you know football, you look, okay, well, where's he running to? Oh my God, there's nobody there. He's going to be wide. He is wide open. Spencer, he's looking right at him. Oh God, Spencer, don't throw it over his head. Just get it to him. Oh my God, it's coming down in his hands. He's running down the sideline. We're scoring, and Iowa just took the lead. And yes, the 70,000 lubricated, little less lubricated at that point, are now fully tented. It's 70,000 full tent mode, okay? And it's one of the all-time plays in Kinnick. It's now going to be one of the all-time plays in Kinnick Stadium. And I was quite...
It was awesome, man. There's just no other way to express it. But
because with their backup quarterback, it was just the feeling of if we can,
that was like with 6 minutes left in the game.
Yes, if we can tie or go ahead in this game, we will win the game because their offense cannot do anything at this point. They can't, and that's what we did. And
yeah, so they get the ball back with 6 minutes left.
I mean, at that point, it was.
Yeah, they go on a little bit of a drive. They get they get into Iowa territory. They're around midfield. We get a big stop on fourth down. Matt Hankins with a huge tackle.
Oh my God! Had to get a stop, and on fourth down, he sticks that guy a yard behind the line to gain. My goodness.
Pull out my inner Phil Parker, Hankins, wrap up and run your feet, because we've seen people just get the shoulder kind of stay on their feet and
reach for it.
But I don't care. He went down on the ground. So that's all that matters.
Yep.
So we take over on downs there and we get nothing going. Three plays later, we punt. Then I think the next play was the next drive was just three and out. The fourth play, they have to go for it at this point. Matt Hankins gets the interception, which.
And if he doesn't, where are we? Like on the 10-yard line or something?
We're like on the, yeah, something like on the 10-yard line. Instead, we're at the 30. Tack on an unsportsmanlike, which obviously not a fan of, can kind of understand it in the moment.
Now, some people weren't fans of, well, wait, we're going to kneel it out and give them time? You're not a fan.
I have no idea what the hell that was.
That, dude, what are we going to do? We haven't done anything offensively, and we're going to, and you're going to open the playbook at that point to get a first down?
I'm not going to open the playbook, but I'm at least going to run the ball. Like, that is just conceding the fact that you are not getting this first down. Like, which
just, you run the ball.
In my
you,
opinion seems completely contrary to everything that we were taught to believe about ourselves at the University of Iowa.
Such a big game though. You let something funky happen with a fumble on a run play.
What do you think your chances are of fumbling the football?
What do you think their chances are of getting it on the 5-yard line with 50 seconds left and scoring with one timeout and the in a backup quarterback that couldn't play for Homer Glenn?
I think it's better than not having the ball and us getting a first down.
I like it. I loved it. I say, give it back to him. Send him a big old fuck you. Hey, one up to the kids. Big old F you to them. Our punter's going to pin you. Beat our defense. And they couldn't do it.
I mean, I understand the faith in our special teams and in our defense. I just don't like, I think the fact that we gave them that opportunity, because I don't think our.
I get it.
We gave them that opportunity. They didn't earn that opportunity.
You're right. Drake, what do you think about it?
I don't know. I don't feel strongly about it as Kevin does, because if that's what the coaches felt like, I mean, there was a lot of coaches talking on the headset, weren't there? I mean, no, not just Brian doesn't just say, hey, we're going to take a knee here.
Like, oh, it's says, a group hey, decision.
Head coach, what do you think? And, you know, like, I feel like there was some discussion there. I don't know. I agree with what
I didn't
saying.
Like it because
contrary, it's contrary to what
I know,
we believe.
Yeah.
One is contrary to what we believe. Two, the defense has played outside their mind the entire damn game, and we get the pick. And we should be like, okay,
it's over.
It should be over. We should like, okay, you guys want to put one more thing on our plate? Come on. How much more do you want out of our defense?
Listen, man,
we want three more plays.
That I'll never disagree with, because even during my career I was very often thinking, what more could we put on our defensive plate?
True.
So I've been dealing with this guilt for a long time, and at this point, we're just going to keep compiling it because that's what we do.
Kev, I'll tell you this.
We're in an abusive relationship.
So I agree. I think, you know, you knee it, you punt it, you still have a 99% chance of winning the game. Probably even more than that. I think you have the exact same odds by running the play.
I think you do too.
The act of kneeling and conceding that you're giving them the ball back really didn't sit well.
You don't like the optics of it. I get it. And here's what I think it digs at a little bit, Kevin. And this is where I'm on your side.
There's one more pun alert in the game. And I don't like that.
Don't like that at all, boys.
Dude. And you know who really doesn't like it? The former long snapper who knows what it feels like for the everybody, not a single person. There was probably a couple because I know I got asked a question. 68,952 of those people or whatever it may be. There was 8 people in that stadium who were thinking about the long snapper. Me and my wife were one of them because he's a true freshman in a top 5 matchup. The sun is down in Kinnick and I can hear Coach Wallace on the sideline going, punt team, this is the fucking biggest play of your life. You get the ball out, we win. Get the fucking ball out and we win the game. All right? Tight missile on set. Tight missile on set. Get out there. Let's go. And freshman long snapper, hope you don't think about it, because guess what? The ball's in your hands. You know how do you? I don't think anybody listening knows.
What do you think? So what do you think? Go for it. 1 second.
I don't think anyone has a clue how very close and easy the margin is, to the point where that freshman thinks about it for 1 second. He now gets a little anxiety in his arms and his shoulders, and that ball goes soaring over Torrey Taylor's head, and Penn State wins the game.
Like, now, back to the former argument, what's more likely, that happens or we fumble just handing the ball off on a 23B play?
Well, but you're also assuming that we get the first down, right? So we could still run 3 run plays and still punt.
And we could, true, absolutely.
Which but at that point,
running plays takes 5 to 6 seconds off the clock.
You're right.
Taking a knee takes, you know, even Spencer was taking his time and it maybe took 2 or 3.
Right. You're right. I don't know. All I know is we won the game, and the snapper, and shout out to Luke Elkin. This true freshman is balling out. He's snapping some clean footballs, man. He's snapping missiles, which makes a former guy proud, but crazy stuff. The field gets stormed. And this is another thing.
Gotta be like the last thing on the docket.
It's right? The last thing on the docket.
Yeah.
This is where the podcast, we're closing down here. And I think I used to be against this, but I think this game shifted my perspective to at least I don't care anymore if it happens or not. As opposed, I'm salty about it. It used to be, if you're the higher seed or if you're ranked in the top 5 or 10 and you storm the field, what's the optics there? Now I get it.
I'm still good with it, man.
For one, the team can't do, it's not the team's decision, right? It's the drunk fans in the stands. Two, on a day like this for Iowa, who doesn't get these moments often, a field storm is the culmination of what we talked about earlier, a game that was hyped to the moon. And then that game surpasses that and more. It's the ultimate celebration of.
Here's why I like it is because those fans earned the right to touch that field that night.
True.
Like, those fans scored points in that stadium that night. And goddamn it, they deserve to touch that field.
I agree.
So my thoughts on it. On paper, yes, it's the wrong thing to do. The favored home team, who is higher ranked, should not rush the field.
Really, ever, yeah.
Ever. But being there, feeling that energy, mm-hmm. and the difference the crowd made in the game, like Drake said, they caused false starts. They helped field position. Like, 2 false starts in a row. I think this was in... Ooh,
it was 3.
I forget which drive it was, but
it was 3 false starts in a row, Kevin. They damn near false started themselves back into their own end zone.
Right, right. I mean, that's 10 yards that the fans gave the offense.
Yep.
10, 15 yards of just field position. So like Drake said, they had a huge part in the game. So, and just the overall energy, just being there, I'm okay with it.
I agree.
Now, pondering on this today, I've come up with like a list of rules of when it's acceptable to rush the field just on paper. Here's what I got. If you are unranked and you beat a top 5 team, it is okay to rush the field. If you are more than a 30-point underdog and you win, it is okay to rush the field. If you beat the number 1 team, it is okay to rush the field.
Okay.
If it is the first win your program has had in over 2 years, it is okay to rush the field.
That's a tough one, but
those are my rules on paper. Very rarely are they allowed to get broken. I'll say this this instance, it is okay to get broken.
Yeah.
Unlike the Minnesota game a couple years ago, that one didn't really feel like it deserved a field rush.
No, I didn't like that one.
Honestly, I don't even think our Ohio State win deserved a field rush because
I don't either.
Because we just kicked the shit out of them. It's like it wasn't even close at the end, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's almost like the feeling, the tension at the end of the game. Like we scored to go ahead after being down 14 with five something left on the clock, 6 minutes. Like, it was such a battle. The Ohio State one was like over when he started the fourth quarter.
Right, like, exactly. So I'm okay with this one because, like I said, high energy up until the end of the game. Like our Michigan game, winning on a last second field goal against an undefeated team who was ranked number three at towards the end of the year.
Right.
Cool with that one, of course. This one, you had to be there to understand it, I think. Everyone outside commenting, like, oh, that's not cool, dude. Totally understand that perspective, but you weren't there. Don't care. What did you guys feel when the two games that we played, the field got rushed as a player?
Michigan and Ohio State?
Yeah.
Like, I was literally surprised at the Ohio State one.
Like, I was too. I was running over to the other sideline to go shake some hands, and then I turn around, like,
yep,
there's students passing me. I'm like, what the fuck? What? we're doing this? Okay.
I was on the same level. I was like, whoa, shit, like, this is happening. The Michigan one,
it was like last second field goal.
Top five.
We're on the bottom of the pile. I get up the pile from on top of and Keith, and all of a sudden there's 30,000 people around me. Like, oh, okay.
Yep.
That was my exact feeling as well. And
but I'm going to say this. As a player, it's cool for about 30 seconds, and you're just like, okay, this is just my perspective. Okay, I just like kind of want to go back to the locker room now.
Yeah, celebrate with the teammates. Like, it is cool. It is cool. But you're right. It made sense in this one. It lived up to the hype. The fans got to celebrate a game that they play a huge part in. And this podcast has been a marathon. I think we're closing in on 100 minutes here. We touched on a lot.
When are we doing these people's questions, man?
All of those things were questions, and I turned them into topics. It wasn't so much specifics. It was more like, hey, talk about this, talk about that. So we hit them all. And we said this was going to be an emotional podcast. I said this was going to be an emotional podcast, not for the reason that I thought it was going to be, but wow, this was one for the ages.
Dude, you know how many people you're about to just make feel it all up in their feelings when you start crying?
Yeah. So
pulling one out of KF's playbook.
I just pulled a KF right there. That was it. Well, hey, let's finish with that. One of the questions, and it's a pretty easy answer, but it's like, what does that do to a player when KF starts to tear up? Like, what emotion does that bring out?
Chills through your spine.
I mean, just like you think that you've wanted to run through a brick wall, but when that happens, you actually feel like you can levitate, like you're Chris Angel, and you can fly.
The saying, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It just, you already know, but it just reinforces how much that man cares about you, your teammates, and the football team, and how proud he is of you, of the way you played, and how hard you played. It's such a rewarding feeling. It's like, you guys would agree, KF is like a father figure.
Yeah.
It's just like, imagine you're at your family's home Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that, and you're just kind of sitting at the table watching everyone.
Pass the turkey, huh?
No, it's like, it's kind of like after dinner, things are starting to quiet down, you know, the kids are playing around, and you're just kind of taking in, it's like, oh, it's great family. And then your dad just comes up and he's like, hey, I'm really proud of you and everything you're doing. That's kind of like the feeling it is.
Damn. He's like, hey, you cooked a great turkey today, and like, your family's beautiful, and you're doing great, man.
It's like, hey,
here's a bush light.
I know how hard you guys are working, and I'm so happy for you guys and your success to see it paid off. And it's just awesome. So KF's the GOAT, man. I love that guy.
Absolute GOAT. Anything else? Because that was a long one.
This podcast has been as great as that game and as great as it's been to be a part of this whole thing and this whole crazy ride since 2013, when we all decided to go play for this football team together, man. This shit is so cool, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
And I cried That's how literally how much I literally care about this walk-on army and this family and community that we've cultivated.
At the time of this recording, it is about 25 hours post game time.
It's on to Purdue.
Fans, you get another 24 hours to enjoy it. The team, you guys should have put it to bed already. It's on to Purdue. Do not let what the first 6 weeks of this season be go down to lose to a team that you should not do.
Yeah. And that is the only thing left on the agenda.
Believe it or not, the pressure keeps building. Even if you're playing less qualified opponents, the pressure keeps building. So
yeah. The first thing,
you fans out there, don't be tweeting our players sucking their asses or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell them they
don't
suck.
Be telling them how good they are. They don't need to hear it.
The last
fans,
thing
I need the fans to have the team mentality too. We're on to Purdue.
We're on to Purdue. Every game is winnable. Every game is losable.
Purdue is coming off a bye week. They're a well-coached football team. We're on to Purdue.
And they've had our number. Last agenda item tonight was trap game. Purdue has our number. That'll be what we talk about next week, or well, next episode. It was 256. There was tears. There was excitement. A little bit like the night in Kinnick on Saturday. If you were there, you experienced it. If not, we all got to experience it from somewhere. That is the Wash Up Walk-Ons Penn State recap. And this season just keeps on burning, right? We'll be back. Thanks for joining us. We fucking love you guys. And there's another one for the kids. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say we didn't quite get to 2,000 for sleepers for the NICU, but we're going to make it 2,000 anyway. And as you guys listen to this on Monday, I will be donating that to that fund. So thank you guys so much for doing that. Patreon.com if you want to join the army. Actually, I forgot this one too. Kevin, we signed some little mini helmets at the tailgate. And Drake's going to sign it when he's in town. We're going to be auctioning off little mini Hawkeye helmets with R3 signatures, which are worthless. But you could have a chance to win them, but you have to be a Patreon member. That's why you join the army. There's extra perks, baby. Let's go. We'll see you in 257. We're going to preview the Boilermakers. Until then, it's on to Purdue.